Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you like the great outdoors? Are you or are you looking to be a master bow hunter, king of the hill in archery? You're in the right place. Welcome to Bow Hunter Planet. It's the Bow Hunter Planet podcast, recorded live in the BHP Studios, Detroit, Michigan, with your host, Team BHP.
Welcome to the Bow Hunter Planet podcast. Today, we have Jeff Lindsay from the Lindsay Way. And at Bowhunter Planet headquarters, we have myself, James Noteboom, Bob McGee, Chris McGee, and Tim Mazzarana. Jeff, how you doing?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
Great.
Good.
We just ate ourselves a nice little venison dinner out of our can cooker. It was really good.
Oh, very nice. I'm a little jealous.
Yeah, it was a little spicy. It's actually pretty good. So,
what part of the deer?
I'm not sure. Dave cooked it.
Knowing Dave, he used the cheap part.
Yeah, he didn't give us back straps. I'm going to tell you that, right?
I'll get like a rump roast.
Yeah. Flank steaks.
What's being said here?
He was asking what cut of meat we got, and I said, knowing Dave, it's the cheap part.
Jeff, don't take crap from these guys.
Or the stuff from 2015.
Cleaning out the freezer.
Freezer burn.
So tell us a little bit about your show. You know, we watch it all the time. I know you did a lot of stuff with the breweries at first. So tell us a little
Give us a little background.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, me and my dad both, we were with, Drury Outdoors for 8 years. We had a great relationship. Mark, Terry, Matt, Taylor, all that team over there, and we got lifelong friends, and we just decided it was time for us to split off a couple of years ago, and the videos and the TV shows, everything was just kind of changing, so we thought it was a good time to step out, and we parted ways on good terms for both us and them, and we remained friends, and we're probably better, Mark's a neighbor of ours in Iowa, so we're probably as good of friends now that we ever have been, because it's not on a, more of a working relationship. Now it's just total friends, hunting, neighbors. We just talk about deer and turkey now. So
your neighbors at the Drury, so I'm assuming your property is horrible.
it's terrible. Yeah. I mean, it's in a good area. We actually, our farm is right there in Iowa. Part of our farm used to be, Mark's original farm. And that's kind of how we met Mark is, went up there, went turkey hunting, got to look, and he was selling his farm, and we bought a piece of his and then just kind of added to it, and Mark had some land that he kind of worked out to stay neighbors, and we've been able to build a pretty good chunk right there, and we were able to do it at a time many moons ago when land was a lot more affordable, so it'd be a lot harder to do now, but I'm sure we've been blessed for sure, and that just kind of led us to the Lindsay Way. It was a long process, but we knew when it would be time. My dad, he was all for it. I was kind of comfortable with Drury, riding it out, but he kind of pushed me, and we're thankful we did it, and now we're going into season, about to start filming season three in 2 months, but season two is about to air starting next week. Season one was our first year. Heartland Bowhunter, those guys over there, the guys producing it, and
we had those guys on. I mean, their production quality is out of this
amazing.
Oh yeah, they're just awesome.
Some of the little things, like they drove through leaves in slow motion. Like wow, like who just thinks of that?
Little things, absolutely. Yeah, it's one of those things where that they do a good job of kind of making you feel like you're there and kind of telling what the hunt's all about. And that's kind of what we. And everybody hunts for different reasons, but we hunt, spend time with our family. Obviously, we're driven by big deer, but at the end of the day, shoot what makes you happy, and it's time spent with the family and friends, and that's
at the end of the day, it's all you got. So that's kind of our goal, to, you know, really try to show people why we, or not necessarily why we hunt, but the feelings and everything that's involved with it.
The passion. It's the passion of hunting.
Absolutely.
So you have, yes, you have the new, you have the new season launching. Not to ruin the season, but can you give us some of the highlights as to what we might expect here coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, on season two, you know, we started out the first year we made it. You know, we're whitetail guys for sure. However, we do a lot of elk hunting. We do a little bit of mule deer hunting. So we started off with whitetail. We wanted to start strong. And this year, since it was our second season, we decided to do it more in chronological order. So, you know, our first two episodes were. For mule deer, we killed, you know, I shot 175-inch mule deer. My dad shot 182-inch deer out in Utah. And then we went to Utah with a couple, Colorado with a couple buddies. And we shot some bull elk with our guns in the Eastern Plains, Colorado. And then we start hunting Iowa. Actually, we go to Kansas. My wife shoots good deer in Kansas. And then from there, it's pretty much whitetail from there on out. You know, we kill. My dad shoots a 178 10 pointer in Iowa. I shoot a 170-inch deer in Iowa, and you know. But the highlight of our year would be my mother shot a deer we call MVP. It was a 5.5-year-old buck that, you know, me and my dad hadn't really hunted, but she doesn't get to hunt much. But late season, and as time rolled around, the deer was still there. She went out and she got him, and she deserved it, you know, more than anybody. So that hunt right there made our whole year. That's probably the episode that we're really looking forward to.
She do a rifle or gun, Jeff?
A muzzleloader.
Cool. Nice. Cool. Very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So
she has a bow. Our goal this year is to get her a deer with her bow, you know, a doe, buck, whatever gets close enough. That's the goal this year. So you're never too old to start bow hunting.
No, you're not.
So
we just talked about that, actually.
Yeah, Tim was in his late 30s.
Yeah, not even in my late 30s, but it's not too far off the mark, though.
Yeah, my mom won't listen to this, so I can say it. I won't get in trouble, but she's in her early 60s, but, you know, she started shooting a bow a couple of years ago, and we got her a PSC set up now. It's at the minimum, she's... You know, it's funny, you know, you can take the strongest person in the world, but if they've never pulled a bow back, that is a unique muscle group that you have to train and you have to learn. So we're working her up, but I think by this year she'll be ready to go.
And of course she's pulling 70 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe 80.
She's pulling more than most of your hunters probably listen to this. No, I think it's like 35 pounds you got to be at the minimum. And
that's all you need.
That's all you need to kill. So speaking of filming, we know that at one point you guys had the largest whitetail kill on film, and that's pretty much everybody in America's dream. That's a hunter. What was that like?
You know, it was weird. You know, looking back, we would have did things a lot differently. It was a deer called Baby G. You know, my dad had some bad luck with Goliath the year before, 2 years before, whatever it was, and. You know, he's more known for not getting Goliath killed than he is killing Baby G. But Baby G scored better, but he didn't have the frame. You know, Goliath was just a world-class frame. Very few deer ever walked the face of the earth that had a frame like that. But it was a good hunt with Goliath. I mean, it was just extremely hard to beat. He was filming himself, and, you know, if he had had a cameraman, we'd probably have a dead deer. And then so... I said, I seen what had happened. I said, you're hunting Baby G. I said, I'm not even going to go over there. If he comes by me, I'm not even shooting him. He means nothing to me. And, you know, we're all about shooting deer. It's that means something to you. Yeah. We always kind of go after deer. Each own has our spots, but each person kind of has the deer they're after. And if we can help it, you know, unless it's accident or something, we're not going to shoot the other person's deer that they're after.
Yeah.
Unless we get mad at each other, but that's
fun. It's all fun and games until somebody shoots my deer.
Yeah. It's all fun and games until somebody, until another 200 shows up. But 200's are far, few and far between.
Oh, yeah.
At that point, he'd already killed one, and I said, nah, you're shooting him. And so he hunted Baby G, and he had excellent footage of him one night coming right to the bean field. And he bedded down at 100 yards, like an hour before dark, and in this beautiful grass. And we just thought that he was going to stand back up. My cameraman was with him that night because they thought they would see him. and he never stood back up. Hindsight's 20/20. They probably should have tried to get him up or something, but it didn't happen. And then the 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, whenever it was, he had a rookie cameraman that went out there, and I mean, he got the kill on film, but it wasn't nothing spectacular. Yeah. But he had been hunting him all year. That it was almost like Groundhog Day. It was another day. Maybe he'd get lucky, maybe not. But to have it do over again with, I would have sent him my cameraman, and the guy that did it was a great guy. He just didn't have a whole lot of experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If little John would have been there, and my dad had already had him get away, once, and he's like, I can't see him, He's like, you better get on him, because I'm about to kill him. I don't care about the video stuff. I want this deer dead. So. But he got him, and the way it tied in kind of completed the whole, David versus Goliath, and then he gets Baby G story. It made for a happy ending, but it was a roller coaster ride there for a couple of years to get to that point.
So, so what I want to know is how do you come up with these names? Is there a process to it?
Spur
of the moment.
I'm always hearing these cool nicknames and stuff, and certain nicknames just stick. We have certain fields on our farm where, oh, this is cool, this name sticks. And if it don't stick, or we don't ever call it that again, or we forget it, that's not a good nickname. So,
right.
Sometimes. Baby G obviously just came after Goliath. We thought he was a baby Goliath, and I think Mark had pictures of Baby G, and he didn't have pictures of Goliath, but he had pictures of Baby G. So he was the one who named him. So, Mark and ourselves, we share some deer. We share probably 25% of the deer on our farm probably go north to his farm, but we don't always share nicknames. We kind of have our own nicknames for them, unless it starts out early, and then we just say, okay, this is what we're going to call this deer. But most of the time that's me just being goofy, coming up with a name, and it sticks. And when I say it, it's probably people are like, what the heck, that's really goofy sounding. But it's just like calling one of my kids now.
I used to name my cars. So,
so you guys shoot PSE. Which model are you shooting this year?
I shoot the Carbon Air. My dad, we're going to shoot the new, Evolve this year. But I'm shooting the Carbon Air. I love it. He's kind of still stuck on his, Decree, I think it is. He's still shooting that one. So he's one of those, I shoot whatever's out, new flagship bow, that's the one I'm shooting. He's one of those that he swaps about every 2 years. He gets comfortable with the bow, and he's...
Yeah, I totally get it. That's how we are here. It's like we're shooting two or three different bows. It's like, sometimes it'd be nice to just hold on to one for a couple of years. But this is what it is. But yeah, that Carbon Air was awesome. We had one of those, and it was fun to shoot.
Comfortable with.
Yeah.
If you get one you're comfortable with. I mean, I don't. Used to bows were a lot more affordable, and you could afford to, and it didn't matter at the time. You could afford just to swap every year, and you're selling them to your buddies or whatever, and now it's like, they're getting up there in price.
Well, not only that, people are always asking us, what's the best bow out there? And when you get into that realm to where you're spending $900,000 plus, they're all great bows. Yeah. It just comes down to personal preference.
I agree with that 100%. Obviously, we shoot what we shoot because it's what we think is the best, but it's like driving a truck. Everybody has their
personal preference.
Their own preference, and everybody's had good and bad experiences with various bows, But once you get to that level, you can't go wrong with any of them. And any of those guys, any of the VP of sales or whatever from any of those companies, you could line all of them up today and they'd all tell you that. I mean, that's just the truth.
Yeah.
Right.
So what kind of... go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just saying, you guys just shoot a variety of bows, huh?
Yeah, we get a little bit of everything. I think we're going to do a little bow tech this year, session bear. We got a whole bunch of, we do a little work for
kind
everybody.
Of back.
Yeah, well, I think what's nice, being that, we kind of work with a lot of different companies out there in the industry, we have an opportunity to really see what's out there in the market, and we run some pro staffs. We have an ambassador program that's out there right now, and it really allows us to let our people be able to decide what they want to shoot. And I think it just speaks to that same point, is that you know, there's a lot of good bows out there. It's about personal preference, and it allows us to put, you know, the different equipment in different people's hands and, you know, hopefully make them more successful in their hunts.
Right.
So
I agree. That's a good strategy.
Yeah, so I'm, you know, looking at your Facebook here, see that you guys got a giveaway. So I just wanted to mention that real quick to everybody. You know, it's
and I know, 10 days.
Yep, that you guys are giving away some product on your website here for some likes and some shares, which is pretty cool. I like, you know, it just kind of shows that you guys are out there for your fans, and you know, you're looking out for everybody, which is cool. So,
yeah, we did that last year. You know, we did it a 10-day. Countdown, you know, a lot of people are like, oh my lord, it's getting on our nerves, but you know, there's twice as many saying, oh man, I love free stuff, keep doing that. And a lot of people say exactly that, you guys getting back to your fans, and that's what we try to do. I mean, we're not, you know, we don't make a living off our TV show. We do it because we love it. We've been able to document it and share it and kind of relive it. That's the reason we do it, and spend time with our family. But 10-day giveaway, you know, our show, actually we got 6 airings on the Sportsman's Channel. And it actually begins next Monday, but because our primetime slot is 8 o'clock on a Sunday night, you know, that's really kind of what we want to promote. Just because it is. It's primetime, and we want to sit down, you know, get on Facebook, get on Instagram, whatever it is. You know, interact with our fans. So we're kind of just pushing the primetime right now.
Very cool, man. So, we look forward to all of your episodes. We cannot wait, you know, to check you guys out this season. I know it's just kicking off, and
we appreciate the hats and the video too that you sent us.
Yeah, very cool.
So where can our listeners here catch your show? I know you're on the Sportsman Channel. Do you have the times? I'm sure they can go check it out.
I can pull them up right here. I got them, but like I said, the main one is, you know, 8 o'clock on Sunday nights, and that begins next Sunday, July 2nd.
Okay.
Monday at 7 a.m., Wednesday at 2:30 a.m., and 6:30 p.m.
Okay.
On Wednesday, and Thursday at 1:30 p.m.
Awesome.
Cool.
So,
cool.
Got a little something, no matter what shift you're working at work.
I'll turn with either Sportsman or Outdoor Channel on at just the weirdest time.
Well, it doesn't even matter when you're working. Nowadays, everybody's got a VCR or a
VCR. Actually, not nowadays. Nobody has a VCR.
DVR.
I do.
Hey, it's
3-letter
abbreviation.
Right.
Close enough.
TiVo, TVR, all that.
Awesome, man. Well, we really appreciate you joining us today. So. Hope everybody goes and, you know, checks out your new episodes coming up, and you know, check out their Facebook as well for the giveaway that's going on. So I appreciate you joining.
Dead
us.
Ringer broadheads, that's no joke. They're awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Dead Ringer broadheads today, and it'll, you know, we'll have something the next 10 days. So yeah, get on there, like it up, and we'll pick some winners. We'll probably go Facebook Live the day of the premiere and draw some winners.
Awesome. Cool.
Yep, looking forward to seeing your new episodes, man.
I'll let you get back to cutting that grass.
Yeah, I'm going to get some well-needed rain right now.
Oh, I know.
Stressful week at work, and I'm going to decompress until it gets dark and I can't do no more.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Enjoy your chill.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Have a good
Jeff.
Good luck this fall.
You too.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Bowhunter Planet podcast, online at bowhunterplanet.com, with your host, Team BHB. Check us out on Facebook at Bowhunter Planet. We'll catch you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.